In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are our readings this evening. Genesis chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 11, and Revelation chapter 7. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good when brothers dwell together in unity. And in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, in Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve dwelt together in unity. There was no fighting, no division, no underhanded passive-aggressive comments, no backstabbing, no violence, no sin, no death. They dwelt together in unity. And not only them, but all of creation, the animals as well. There was no predator and prey. The lion lay down with the lamb. All was peaceful and calm. And all of that changed the moment that Adam and his wife ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in disobedience and fell into sin. Humanity thrown into sin. You and I born sinful. And if you want an R-rated evidence of this fall into sin, just turn on your television. You don't need to go searching very far. Just tune in to Animal Planet. Sit back and watch the wolf stalk, snatch, and rip up a young lamb's body to shreds. Gaze at the lion's face smeared in the crimson blood of the weak old gazelle. See the viper lash out and sink its fangs into a cute bunny, fire its venom, and painstakingly swallow its victim. There's a reason we call them wildlife. They truly represent that which is wild and untamed, outside man's control. Though they were created to be ruled by the Adams and Eves of this world, they often maul man, their would-be overlords. They live by instinct, not conscience. They prey on the weak. They fight to survive, threaten that survival, back them into a corner, and prepare for fangs to be aimed at your throat. Nature's motto is not live and let live, but kill or be killed. Kill to live. And because of that, there is hardly a better image of you and me than that of the animal kingdom. For what the cat does to the mouse, what the eagle does to the rabbit, is what we do with our words and our actions. As playfully or violently, we rip apart the lives of others and gnaw at the bones of those whom God has given us to care for and to love. The ox knows its owner. The donkey knows its master's crib. But Israel, my people, does not know and do not understand, says God in Isaiah the first chapter. So the painful truth is that we are worse than animals. To call our loveless, meaningless actions beastly is actually an insult to the beasts. At least most of them kill for their own survival. We will slice up a baby in the womb of its mother for convenience sake. We will stab each other in the back for humor's sake. We rip reputations to shreds with our gossiping tongues for pleasure's sake. And though we purr outward piety for all the world to hear and to see, inside us lurks a ravenous beast that is eager to devour. The old animal within cannot be domesticated. He can only be killed. It is good to have Advent before Christmas. What good is a baby to those who think that they are good in and of themselves? As he lies in the manger, that dining table of beasts, he shows us for whom he came. He came for you, Adam. He came for you, Eve, who would have become animalistic, below the beasts, but nonetheless beloved by Christ. He is there as food for you. So repent. Today is the day of salvation, the season of repentance. He draws nigh even now. He will draw nigh again with a shovel in his hand to bury this old creation once and for all at the close of the age. His advent, his second coming, is near. His advent is now. Repent and believe the gospel. In his first advent, in David's neck of the woods, he came forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, just as Isaiah prophesied in our second reading. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from the roots shall bear fruit. For over 500 years, David's throne sat cold and vacant. His line, the people of God, mowed down by the Babylonian chainsaw. Only a seemingly dried up, withered, lifeless stump of a people remained. But such impossible situations are God's favorite arenas of activity. For when God begins something, it always seems as if nothing will come of it. Yet there stood the promise of Isaiah, biding its time beneath the ground as the root of Jesse, the very source of life, eager to sprout forth and eager to sprout upward. And so it was, from within the virgin soil, the womb of Mary, that Jesse's root emerged as Jesse's shoot. God became man, while yet remaining God. And this is the Son of David, the second Adam, the Son of God, and he came for you. His advent landed him in a zoo of this world. No, actually worse than a zoo. More like a cage overrun with wild, rabid beasts. But so he knew well, long before he came. Yet still for us, wild and untamed in heart though we are, still Jesus came. The promise of Isaiah is fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the one who comes to recreate his fallen creation, just like in Genesis 1 and 2. The Spirit of God rests on him, a perfect Spirit, a sevenfold Spirit of God. The Spirit rests on Jesus to bring the 7 days of the original creation to its goal. A new creation, a new Adam, a new Genesis, a new you. The Spirit of our Lord overcomes our worldly spirits. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding replaces our foolishness and idiocy. The Spirit of counsel and might overpowers our deception and weakness. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord conquers our ignorance and impenitence. He hovers over the living waters of the font to recreate us as sons of the Heavenly Father through the waters of holy baptism. The Spirit who rested upon the Son of known as Jesus in the form of a dove now builds its nests within the branches of your soul. Before this Son, Jesus, you stand, recreated. As the new Adam, he is your father. As the new David, he is your king. He judges you not by what his eyes see or what his ears hear. He judges you with righteousness and equity. And though you are guilty, as I am guilty, for your sake, for mine, he takes the blame. On your behalf, the rod of punishment leaves welts on his back. The belt of righteousness about his waist, the belt of faithfulness around his loins, These he removes and he wraps around you. And your tattered rags of infidelity and unrighteousness, he ties around himself. You become what he is, as he becomes what you are. You switch places, so that all that is good he has is yours, and all that is bad you have become is his. In this great exchange, this gracious substitution, he who is the Lamb of God, pure and holy, makes you to be lambs of the Father's flock, pure and holy in his sight. So it is in his church, where everything is more than meets the eye. For you are all different, yet you are also all the same. Men and women, young and old, meek and arrogant, rich and poor, powerful and powerless, yet you are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here, the wolf dwells with the lamb. The leopards lie down with the young goats. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf dwell together. Here, there is unity. For the dividing wall of hostility is broken down by the cross. Christ says to you, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here you say to one another, peace be with you. That is, if I have sinned against you, brother, I am sorry. And for the sins you have committed against me, I forgive you, dear brother. Here in the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, brothers dwell together in the unity of the forgiveness of sins. In the holy mountain of his church, they shall not hurt or destroy. You have been made new, recreated through the waters of holy baptism into the image of Christ, who is peace and love. And all of this, not because we are perfect in and of ourselves, but because we have been dressed up in Christ's perfection, clothed in a robe of Christ's righteousness, the garment of salvation, the blood of Jesus that covers all our sins. His blood rained upon you in holy baptism in order to create a new Garden of Eden, a new church where God and man are reunited in blessed communion. And of that church, you are a part. Chosen, he has bought you. Bought you, he has brought you to the font and he has washed you. Washed you, he has welcomed you in. Welcomed, he has fed you with the fruits of the tree of life, the tree of the cross, his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. For a branch from the root of Jesse has bore fruit, and of that fruit you are welcome to eat. So pull up a chair to the tree that gives life. Eat, drink, and be merry. For in the Eden of the church, in the new and better Adam, in the new and better David, whoever reigns over the kingdom of God, here and with him, you will never die. For you have already died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there will be a day where this unity is no longer hidden, where this life is no longer hidden, but fully unveiled and fully revealed forever. This day, the last day, is the day spoken of in our final reading of Revelation chapter 7, where there is no fighting, no division, no underhanded passive-aggressive comments or backstabbing, no violence, no sin, no death. For having come out of the great tribulation of sin and death, adorned in the garment of salvation, our robe made white in the blood of the Lamb, Christ, our Lamb, will guide us to streams of living water and his eternal paradise, to his new Eden, where there is no hunger, thirst, struggle, strife, suffering, sin, or death. Just life with our Lord, like Adam and Eve had in Genesis 1 and 2. For behold, Jesus has forever made all things new, a new creation. a life with Christ forever in Eden, in paradise, in his kingdom that has no end. That, dear saint, is what awaits you. That is what our Lord promised you when he returns again at the second advent of our God. But all of this began, all of this, Christ won for you at his first advent. Christ's coming is your arrival back to Eden's gate. Welcome home to the beginning of the new creation, to your life with Christ here on earth in the Eden of the church, and finally there in eternity in the recreated Eden of our God. May the Lord, who has begun this good work of recreation in you, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.